When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, hour number two underway. Off and run. A little bit of a different format, schedule, feel to the show today. Once again, thanks to Orange Cassidy and All Elite Wrestling for coming in studio. That was awesome. As well, Adam Hopkins for bringing him to us and hanging out. And I think you will hear Denton Day's interview with Orange Cassidy tomorrow between 10 and 1 on the Team 980 as well. You just heard Doc and I in studio here with Orange Cassidy. Again, get some tickets, AEWTIX.com. That's AEWTIX.com. We appreciate them coming in studio. First if class, you missed it, hit class. The rewind. He joined us a little bit earlier than we were expecting because of the schedule, the way it worked out. That's fine. We got a little extra time with him. So hope you enjoyed that. If you missed any of it, again, hit the Odyssey Rewind or podcast it after the show, which ends at 4 o'clock. All right, Doc. So that brings us – what's up? Oh, the podcast is already up. How about that? On the Odyssey app, man. It's got it all carved up and labeled before you or at the team980.com. All right, so now we got to get into the stuff that we normally talk about, right? The Commanders are a 9-win team. Does it feel like they are on? I don't want to say that they're teeter tottering on extinction because that's not fair. I'll leave bold, outlandish statements
for tomorrow.
Yeah, for tomorrow.
For tomorrow.
Does it feel like they're a 9-win team, though, and that the arrow is still very much pointing up, or does it feel like the arrow is kind of like, I don't know, going east and west as opposed to north? Does that make sense?
Is stagnant, yeah. One of them? I would say it's still pointing up, but it's probably going 5 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything that you should write home about or be highly encouraged because, again, as I will repeatedly say, as Lowell would do, after Thanksgiving, there's no forgiveness. You've already been warned. There's no more excuses. You had your bye week. You're going through your prep. You're either going to be ready for this or you're not. And the only thing they did that, to me, was encouraging was that they found a way to win on the road, which is encouraging.
Right.
That ain't easy. So I give them credit for that. But by no sense of the imagination do I want anybody to think that performance is going to get them to beat a good team.
Right. Because this is Tell the Truth Tuesday, right? They do Tell the Truth Monday. Exactly. Yeah. You have to play a lot better.
Oh,
now, like Jay Gruden said, and I'm sure, like, it's permeated around the building. Hey, man, you win a game in the NFL on the road, it's a good win,
it's a
period.
Great win.
Right? All right. And you're saying it's a great win. I said it was a got away with it win.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they did enough good things to win, but they got away with enough bad things, not great things, controversial calls, clock malfunctions, what have you, and mistakes that they made. They got away with it. To your point, you can't play anything close to how they played on Sunday and expect to beat not only Philadelphia, but You know, like, I don't know if you played like last night. Maybe you would. I don't know if you beat Atlanta and Kirk Cousins.
Well,
maybe
yeah, you do them because they're garbage.
Right.
See, right now I'm not messing with anybody that's mediocre.
Right.
Atlanta's mediocre. Right. If you can't beat me, Atlanta, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. That's why I said the drumstick drop. No more farting around. The gloves are off. If you get off by saying, well, are they better than last year? Who couldn't be? Stop patting yourselves on the back. You got this kid at 5 who's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
If you waste a year of his career, that's on you. Because he scares the bedickens out of everybody.
Yeah.
Now you got one. No excuses now. Now I'll give them a pass on this one because they won. And don't take a viral attack. Be honest, badass out, and you won, and he's in the room with the rest of the big boys. So the Fat Five, you think they weren't ill? You think some people weren't? They were not 100%. Very seldom do you get a chance to play 100%.
Right.
But I'm looking at this. I stuck an asterisk by it myself personally because I go, that they'll be better just because they'll be healthier. That offensive line, there's no way you can convince me that if Biotis is out,
mm-hmm.
then maybe one or two of them might have should have joined him.
Well, listen, I mean, bringing up Biotis, I was going to ask about the run game or whatever, but I'll just ask right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cosme obviously got paid, and he deserves to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Coleman's just a rookie. Allegretti's a veteran who's starting really consistently for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Biotis is the most important player on that offensive
badass,
line,
right,
and
badass.
He might be the one. I mean, I don't know if he's. I mean, clearly Jaden is the most important player on offense,
oh, yeah,
and Terry is 1A.
Yeah,
but is Biotis 2, or is he 1B?
Either one you want to do, because without him, Terry won't get the ball. So without him, look how many things won't happen. That's why when I say
a good running, how about a good running game won't happen?
Well, that's also to the designer too.
Yeah, well,
if you want somebody to go 8-hole instead of 2-hole, that's on you. I'm going the straightest path is straight ahead, fastest path straight ahead.
Do you think Biotis's absence and the fact that they weren't prepared for it, meaning he woke up Sunday morning sick, or maybe they knew
it's
Saturday?
Not an excuse.
Do you think they would have tossed out part of the game plan?
Oh, that we'll never know, but that's on them. Everybody that makes a team, they chose you.
They should be
able
to,
you ready to play. I don't want to buy that.
So you don't think Michael Dieter being in, if you had to guess, nobody knows, but if you had to guess, you wouldn't say that they had to alter significantly the game plan.
Of course, it's not going to be. If Russ Grimm and Bostic aren't, you're not going to be able to do everything you like to do.
Right.
But we got to be able to run our offense.
Right.
Otherwise, why is he in the game? Why did he make your team? He didn't cost them it. He would have cost them had he fumbled, had we had a rash of fumbles. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he earned that right. He got in. It was professionally operated. I would have been have a problem more so with the play caller than the plays that were
Run. Well, because Tua, like I was talking with Jay yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And two of the first three plays, I'm trying to pull it back up here.
I heard you.
I think two of the first three plays, they ran for like 7 yards and I'm trying to pull it up just so that I'm accurate here. Here it is. The first run play was, you know, a Jaden scramble, 1 yard, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. The first run was a 1 yard run from Brian Robinson, but then they ran for 9 yards and 5 yards. I think the 5 yarder to the left end was they had penetration up the middle. Basically, I think it was in the left side A gap. Maybe it was in the B gap between Coleman and Allegretti. I can't remember.
Yeah, whatever.
Guy shot the hole, and B-Rob kind of danced around him, cut upwards to his left, and got 5 yards out of it after a 9. So they had some success running in a very small sample size, Doc, early, and then they seemed to get away with it and get into this rhythm of Jaden Daniels beating New Orleans with his arm. And quite honestly, he was efficient and he was effective. Now, it took a really, really, really hellacious effort from Terry McLaurin for that first touchdown to go down the way it did. But it seemed like
two.
They got away from the run game a little bit too early for me.
But that could have been just our preference. That's how I always feel. But again, that's their prerogative. Do it any way you want to do it. I'm not going to get in their business. But I'll tell you who will, Philadelphia. You mess around and do this to to placate your own ego, go right ahead. Now you got a team that you might not be physically capable of punching them in the face. New Orleans, everybody, nobody's afraid of New Orleans. The hell you doing running away from New Orleans? You help them, because if they do anything decent, it is Chase. What? I'm running right at Chase Young, like everybody else does.
I couldn't believe they didn't do that more.
Which
I've been screaming about that all week.
Because he will run you down. Yeah. Chase has never, ever been slow on giving you that kind of effort. But again, whatever. They won the game, but if they don't look themselves in the mirror and go, we got away with one, then shame on them.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If they didn't want to run into the New Orleans front, which it looked like they didn't want to do without Biotish, with whatever, good luck this Sunday.
No, you got no luck.
Going against those two behemoths
luck
in the middle of the line.
Luck's not going to help you. But what may help you is that if those kids were not 100%,
meaning you had a bad stomach,
a viral. See, I think I'm giving the viral deal a little bit more than they care to. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't say it either way. Mm-hmm. Why? You won the game. Get the hell out of there. It's over. All attention now goes to Philly.
Right.
But if you're patting yourself on the back, you better be glad they started the bum they started in New Orleans and not the backup. Because otherwise, we wouldn't have had a victory Monday.
Yeah.
It was that close.
No, you're right. Because Spencer Rattler, I don't want to say he carved them up, but he certainly played significantly better than Jake Haener. And I don't know why they made the decision that they did. Haener looked scared.
He was frightened.
Didn't he?
He was frightened.
Yeah. I mean, the interception was because of pressure from Javonte Jean-Baptiste off the left end.
Yeah, Wolverine.
But like Haener, the couple of times that he got sacked on the first drive, Deron Payne like was there, and somebody came around, and I don't remember if it was Dorrance or somebody like that, and Deron Payne barely even touched him. It was almost like he just showed up, and it was like the boogeyman, and Jake Haener went down. And then there was another sack, I think it was Dorrance's sack, where he came rushing around left end, and he got there pretty damn quickly, and like Haener like just fell down and like didn't want to get hit. And I don't want to get hit either. But you're an NFL quarterback. You got to be willing to take a hit, right?
Well, the way those guys called the game, you should have taken the hit because they'd have given you 15.
Yeah, well, that's
true. And maybe a condo in Florida. Yeah. I mean, it's just – but it's called bad on both sides. So I'm not riding that pony. But it's embarrassing across the board with that. But that's a different topic. We got away with the W. Man, I'm going to accept that, but also look at it and go, you listen to all the shows and you go, and everybody's saying the same thing. You see everybody on the format says it, that McCaffrey, can he get a look? You get to Ertz, makes the play of the day, which was phenomenal. Games, just amazing. And that, we get people who step up, you get one shot, you don't seem to want to go back to them. And it's somewhat confusing. And I go, well, did you win? Yes. Would we have won this in past? No, never. And then you watch the rest of the league and look how crazy things are and going on. And you go, 9, could be 10. But how good is the team? Are we peaking? Are we going to be able to play our way into playoff contention and playoff success?
Mm-hmm.
And that right now, I'd go, to be seen. I got to see it. Because I just don't have enough sample size.
Well, the recent sample size separated by a bye is they dominated a bad team in Tennessee. Just ran all over them.
The way they should.
And then they struggled to extinguish and barely beat a bad team that was better than people gave them credit and more competitive and more feisty and more plucky and all that stuff in New Orleans. So does that, and then the game before that obviously was a horrendous loss to a bad Dallas team.
Yeah.
So the recent sample size is not very good.
And we haven't figured out that yet.
Yeah.
We kind of wanted to get away from it. I did too. But we still haven't discovered it. They still stink.
And you're talking about Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she's
but they did beat you.
That's my point. And I accept that. So I'm still trying to figure out, are we going to be as good as we're capable of being? Because we do have something special. That kid 5, Watch every highlight of every game.
Gives you a chance to win every
you
game.
You got a chance.
Gives you a chance.
Now you're going to take advantage of it.
But they need more than him, though.
Yeah, the corner. So you made another good move. You made another good move.
Well, I want to get into get into that next in terms of how maybe they can attack Philadelphia, because that's going to be an interesting part of this.
Did you see Brown?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he finally woke up.
Dude, uncoverable.
Boom.
You better hope.
But you at least have a chance with Lattimore.
Oh, yeah.
You at least have a chance.
You got a chance, but nobody's going to stop him but them.
You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to stop.
Right.
But can you control? Can you contain?
Well, okay.
We'll talk about it next.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We're with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yes, the Commanders are getting set for the Philadelphia Eagles, who come in on a 10-game winning streak. Are they unbeatable? Are you feeling... my sense is this fan base feels like they lost on Sunday as opposed to winning. And well, that was my sense yesterday.
If they do, then.
Yeah. I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. We'll examine that more as well.
But they're smart to realize their eyes aren't lying to them.
It's okay to think it wasn't an impressive win. But it was a win.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to fix. And maybe in some way, a lot of things to fix keeps their heads screwed on tight and makes the practice week feel like
we just came out of a bye. A sense of urgency. We thought the practice was great throughout
the bye. That's what they say. They always
say
that.
They needed rest. We got rest.
Yeah, they always say that.
Bull manure.
People should stop talking.
Yeah.
Except for us. We got to talk. Yeah. That's what we do. 301-230.
Well, from Essex, man. Essex said nothing today.
We'll let him do the next segment, okay?
Okay, good. All right.
Him and you can do the next segment. I'm going to go get some coffee.
You're not getting off that way. See, you don't even want to be with us, Essex. I told you. All he thinks about is tomorrow. Tomorrow, that's it.
Well,
that kid.
It's all I worry about.
That kid.
It's all I worry about. If you had to deal with him for 3 hours back-to-back days, whew, my goodness.
It's enough to become a major topic.
Yeah, it's something. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, along with the DOC, Rick, Doc Walker, we continue along on this Tuesday afternoon, 23 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock, about halfway home. We'll get into some college football, and I want to talk about one of the things that we brought up yesterday at the end of the show and clean up on aisle 3 with the DOC when it comes to the transfer portal and the college football playoff coming up. Don't forget Jay Paterno. Jay Paterno, son of the legendary Joe Paterno, will join us on Thursday afternoon, right around 3 o'clock. Jay Paterno on the college football playoffs and his new book and all of that stuff. Doc, we've already established if they play the way they did on Sunday, they're not going to beat a really good team in Philadelphia. Here's my question for you. Do you believe they have, if Biotis is playing and he's knocking heads, and oh, by the way, he wasn't very good in the first Philadelphia game. Now, he was banged up. This is different. He was ill this week. It shouldn't have an effect. It's not like an ankle or a knee or an upper body or whatever. He should be okay, but he's got to go toe-to-toe with Jalen Carter, who's a maniac, and Jordan Davis, who's basically a mansion.
Yeah, Linnell.
Do you think that the Commanders are going to be able to sustain enough on the interior ground game in order to make it easier for everything else to work? Meaning, because you might not have Zach Ertz. You don't have Eckler. You don't have Noah Brown. We assume KJ Osborne is going to be in the lineup. Don't know yet. Do you think that they can run enough and enough to the perimeter if they can't run on the interior with Biotis back against those two big mamba jammas?
Yeah, if they're healthy, and I mean, when I say health, the virus deal gone, full strength, then they'll be fine. They'll be able to do it because they've done it against damn near everybody, if the plays are called. I'm far more concerned about what's going to be called.
When you say that, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously that comes to Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. So your beef was what? That they just threw the ball too much, or that they didn't want to run, they didn't want to attack Chase?
We're like, not mano-a-mano. Uh-huh. We refuse. Now, in this case, he probably did the right thing if his boys aren't 100%. Mm-hmm. He knows them better than I do.
But you just want them to line up and knock heads.
I want them to accept the challenge because I think our guys, that's what we do best.
What if, as that game wore on Sunday, mm-hmm. even when they did try and run outside of Jaden, and it's not like Jaden had anything but that one big run mm-hmm. on 3rd and 13 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. they didn't have the success that they had early on. I chronicled, mm-hmm. Two out of the first three run plays from Brian Robinson were a 5-yard gain and a 9-yard gain. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that success. So if the game on Sunday kind of wears on and you're getting negative yardage, you're getting zero yardage, do you say, okay, we just can't do what we'd like to do, or do you keep beating your head against the wall?
Well, what they've done is just don't surrender. If you surrender, you might as well just forfeit. Because the Eagles will crush you. Because they're going to just keep bringing pressure.
If you become one-dimensional?
Absolutely. We got the ability to attack people if we choose to. Mm-hmm. But if you're already in the gun and then you're running wide, to mm-hmm. me, you surrender. You refuse to just challenge them. They want to punk you into being soft. You got the weapon in 5. That's the one thing they can't counter. Because they want to play bully ball with you, but they know if they blink, that dude's gone somewhere else.
Right.
If he doesn't put the ball in his belly, but if you're in the center, now you, to me, gained an advantage. But they don't want to play that way, so I follow whatever they decide to do. As long as it works, I'm good.
What I don't want to see in this game, and I know this is going to frustrate Commanders fans, mm-hmm. I don't want to see Jaden ripping the ball out, even if it's I don't want to see a lot of read option. Mm-hmm. He's going to get hit.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And I understand that can happen in the pocket. I want him to operate almost essentially like he did as a passer against New Orleans mm-hmm. without a lot of – and what has driven me a little bit batty over the – 2 out of the last 3 weeks, is it seems like there is a – like he held on to the ball a little bit too long on a couple of the sacks the other day, but mm-hmm. it also seems like, Doc, there is too many times where he is running immediately from under center or behind center or the pocket area, and I don't want to see that. I want to see him operate where – okay, yes, you can get around end on a read option give and you play it perfectly and you mesh it perfectly and you sucker them in and everything's crashing down. Okay, fine. But to me, it seems like he is leaving the pocket a little bit too early too often. And then there were a couple of the sacks on Sunday where he held on to the ball mm-hmm. probably too long. Ideally, a happy marriage. But does it seem to you like in lieu of when sometimes they can't get the natural, or what I would call the natural running game, in lieu of that, then Jaden becomes almost the primary ball carrier by design, however you get to it. And it just seems like, for me, he's leaving too early. If he's got the option on an RPO, right? If he's got the option on a read option to throw a pop pass or to throw a quick-hitting slant or a quick-hitting shallow cross or whatever.
Throw it as opposed to
running it, and yeah. It seems like he runs it too quickly.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, but I trust his judgment, but I also hope we realize he's what everybody's afraid of.
Yes.
He dictates that. He scares the crap out of people, so let's leverage that. But if something's there for 5 or 6, 7 yards, take it. We had a Hall of Famer out there, too, James Arthur Monk. Mm. We threw Charlie Ten Hitch a million times.
Yeah,
get the ball out your hands. Get to him. And let's go play on the wing. All our people block well, so let's give him a chance. But don't turn this into a box game and think you're going to bully Philly, because they're going to try to bully us. I just want to make sure we do have the weapons to do it. Hey, Rodriguez, what, one carry? Two carry? I just want somebody to explain to me how that makes sense.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. All right, let's do the trending alert right here, right now, and then we'll get to some of your calls on the other side. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let's tell you about what's coming up tonight right here on the Team 980. St. Francis and Maryland Terrapins basketball begins at 7 o'clock over on 106.7 The Fan at 8:15 with an 8:30 puck drop. The Washington Capitals are back in action after having their 10-game road winning streak rather snapped last night in Dallas. They take on the Chicago Blackhawks, who have been a major disappointment. Again, 8:30, the puck drop there. 8:15, the pregame, over on 106.7 The Fan. Meanwhile, from the NFL, Jerry Jones, amongst other things, talking about rabbit heads and eating rabbit and all sorts of things this morning on our sister station in Odyssey in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. He also said that the Cowboys have never thought about trading Micah Parsons, who will be a free agent in a year's time and certainly needs a new contract extension to keep him long-term in Dallas. Meanwhile, the Lions are dealing without, as we told you about yesterday, David Montgomery. He's out for the year. Aleem McNeil, and Carlton Davis, three key starters. Dan Campbell also dealing with a loss. He said the loss to the Bills and some of the injuries, exactly what we needed in terms of the Lions turning around from a 11-game winning streak that was snapped on Sunday. And that's what's trending. Will the Commanders be fancy-like? I don't know. Where was I going with this, Matt? I'm not sure. This Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Doc pointed this out during the break. I didn't see this because we were so busy with Orange Cassidy and doing the show. The NFL has unfortunately, which is pretty much what we were expecting, either a Saturday night or a Sunday night, the NFL has flexed the Kirk Cousins Atlanta Falcons game here against the Commanders to Sunday Night Football. Woo! In week...
That's awful.
Week 17, game 16 is what he was trying to say. Now, that's one thing. Tyree Jackson, who was with the Giants a little bit earlier this year, has signed to the practice squad for the Commanders. And that's important to note because Zach Ertz is in concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. And they definitely lost something. I mean, besides that brilliant one-handed outstretched catch by Ertz, which got them inside the five-yard line. Mm-hmm. You lose, like, it's hard enough to beat the Eagles when you're completely healthy. They know that it is really going to be difficult if they've got to depend on John Bates, Ben Sinnott, although you could certainly make an argument that, hey, man, if you throw Ben Sinnott a couple of times in the flat or maybe even on a little, like, sit-down option route over the middle or on the hashes, he might be able to replace some of the production of a Zach Ertz, but they signed, obviously, a tight end, Tyree Jackson, to help them out in case so that they could run 13 personnel, presumably, if he were to get the call-up from the practice squad. Here's another thing, and this is what's going to make people happy. Doc, did you realize the Commanders can clinch a playoff spot this weekend?
It doesn't blow my mind.
With three games to go, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season, week three, week four, maybe by week five, I would say, maybe, after back-to-back wins in Cincinnati and Arizona. Certainly at the beginning of the season, I would have said, hell no, no chance. But they can clinch a playoff spot this weekend, and here's the scenario. A Washington win plus an Atlanta loss or tie and a Rams loss or tie gets them in. The same Atlanta loss or tie with a Washington win and a Seattle loss or tie. So basically they need Atlanta to lose or tie off of a short week and the Rams or Seattle to lose or tie.
Seattle's terrible.
Along with Atlanta's a Washington terrible. Win. Along with a Washington win.
But you know, Chris, really the only thing that matters to me is how we play. I don't give a rat's behind.
That's fair.
About anybody else.
That's
because
fair.
In the end, yeah, you chew up a little 2 or 3 minutes of airtime, but what does it matter if you suck? If you can't get a yard when you need to get a yard, if you can't stop a nosebleed
mm-hmm.
in the run game defensively, what does it matter?
That's all fair, but that's a
but
they would in order for any of this to matter,
yeah.
they would have to win. So they would have to do their part
Thank
anyway.
You. Thank
so,
you. That's
so,
all I care
so
about.
That's the most important thing, I would agree.
It's the only
regardless
thing
of what
about.
Happens. I'm just saying Seattle's there is a scenario.
Seattle's a train wreck because the quarterback is hurt.
Yeah.
And the backup is awful.
Oh yeah.
We know that.
And baby
firsthand.
Belichick as your buddy would call him.
Well,
they
Belichick.
Weren't very good defensively on Sunday night.
Everybody's beat up, battered, yeah. even the Niners who I trust. Look, right now it's about who's available.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do against them? Even if you're playing a bad team, so what? What have we shown that we can do in terms of dominating someone? That's mm-hmm. what I would say.
All right,
evaluate your own house.
I understand that, but again, people get excited by the fact that potentially by Sunday night you could be assured of being in the playoffs with two games left to go.
Who?
No, I'm just saying, fans.
I hear people say this all the time. People who like Lowell?
No. Yes, he would.
Who
but
cares?
Fans are going to get excited if you take care of your business Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, Doc, and then the L.A. Rams are going to MetLife Stadium to take on Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. What could possibly go wrong there?
That's a team that I would say everybody's should pay attention to. That mm-hmm. lost the best defensive player on
right.
the planet.
Yeah.
And they aren't making any excuses.
Yeah, no,
they're getting after people.
I agree. And they're extra
on the
rest.
Yeah, and they're coming
because they
after.
Played last Thursday night.
There's somebody I'd say keep my eye on if I cared about anybody but us. We need to handle our situation yeah. and find out why we can't get a yard when we need to, why we can't stop anybody when we need to. Handle our business. If we do that, I think we're going to be fine because we've got a dude that everybody else is worried about. And that's so rare. Let's not blow that.
All right. Let's get to Uptown Mo here for our first call of the day because we had a little bit of a busy schedule. It took us a little while to kind of wound everybody up. What up, Mo? How are you? Mo?
They've gassed out. Don't tell me they've lost confidence in us.
There he is.
Okay.
Mo, what's up? How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yep, got
hey,
you now.
Nah, I was on the phone. I thought y'all could hear me. My bad. Mm-hmm. So the question was, can we beat the Eagles? Of course we can. Now, the crazy part is Scott Turner gave us a game plan for beating the Eagles when we went up there on Monday night to beat them. And Brian Robinson was involved in that. We have to, as Doc said, take the challenge of becoming the NFC East bullies. If you watch the Eagles game from last weekend, they bullied the Steelers around the field. And when you see a bully, you have to meet intensity with intensity. I think, right, we can't stop the run. If we stop the run, I would love for Jalen Hurts to beat us with his arm. I would love for him to beat us because I don't have confidence that he could do that. So – like Doc said, 5 is a weapon. We need to make 8 a weapon. We need to make 17 a weapon and just let the chips fall where they may.
I mean, I agree in general, but here's one thing that I would remind all Commanders fans about, you know, like this bully ball mentality, and I understand it. You know, when they did that to Philadelphia, first of all, it worked great in the first half, not as well in the second half. They did win that game because Philadelphia turned the ball over 4 times, not necessarily because they bullied them the entire game, but also, and most importantly, they did not have Jalen Carter yet at that point. So, again, it is a different Philadelphia team. Now, if you could get Philadelphia to turn the ball over 3 or 4 times, you're probably going to win that game unless you throw up all over yourselves, too. And that's, you know, that's a key. I mean, there's different ways to win a game, right? Like, what's the old adage? Different ways to skin a cat? I don't
think we have that versatility, though. I'm convinced that...
To force turnovers, you mean?
No, we're going to do what we've done. Until they prove to me that they're willing to go mano a mano, which I don't think we will. Because they don't. They will try to outwit you, outflank you, outsmart you. If this was a war, we're strategic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to outflank you. We're just not going to bum rush you. And I think the Philly knows that. And by contrast, I think they're going to try to end this in the first quarter. They're going to flat out come out here. Because if I were them, that's what I would do.
Well, here's my question now. In the first matchup, short week, all of that, in Philly, they had really no success throwing the football. And that was without Marshawn Lattimore. Now that you have Marshawn Lattimore, not only does he help you theoretically in terms of not getting ambushed by A.J. Brown, even though that did not happen in the prior game this year, we all know it's happened in the past. It should theoretically at least off. Again, earlier we said you're not going to totally shut down A.J. Brown, but can you control him? Can you contain him? Devontae Smith had over 100 yards receiving against Pittsburgh. That's Mikey Sanders-Still's matchup. I think that's a pretty good matchup, by and large, for the Washington Commanders. But does having Sanders-Still on the outside, Igbinoghene still in the slot, and now Marshawn Lattimore, not only should that, again, give you like some comfort that they're not going to be able to throw the ball all over the yard, but does it give you comfort that they're going to be able to more regularly commit 8 in the box, even if Chin doesn't play, that they're going to be able to drop down a guy like Derek Forrest, who would play more, that they're going to be able to bring more? Because in the first game in Philadelphia, as I was there, they were mixing and matching. They were sometimes too deep. They were sometimes dropping the safety down. And they did, again, a great job against their pass. So now that you have Lattimore, Doc, doesn't it give you the opportunity to play more 8 in the box and try and take away their strength and force their weakness and then say, okay, we're going to force your weakness, but now we have Lattimore, Sanders-Still, and Igbinoghene, and we're not dealing with Benjamin St. Juice. We're not dealing with Emmanuel Forbes. We're not dealing with Michael Davis.
I know what I saw in the first matchup. I know that I want to see Hurst throw more because that's where he's at his weakness. He also has a superpower that he can kill us if he starts running.
Yeah.
And so I believe what my eyes showed me, again, we want pats on the back for playing well, but we lost. And when they needed to make plays, they did it on demand.
Yeah. Philly did.
Yeah, on demand.
And the Commanders crumbled defensively in the fourth quarter.
Just like a shrimp.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that as sooner or later, we got to show and be able to impose our will. I don't believe that's our style. So why would I believe we're going to do it? I just don't believe that he's showing me who he is. We come after every game going, that guy only got one carry, two carry. What happened to this guy? I don't know. I don't know what we got people on ice. Like, we saving people? I don't know. So I'm waiting for them to prove it because I trust them. But everything has limits. So I'm wondering, well, if the guys were sick, see, that's another thing. Been there, yeah, that could be a problem. So if they're healthy enough to compete, I think that we will match them mano a mano. And we've shown what we're capable of doing, but I got to let the guy who designs it prove that he's willing to do it. He'd just not be a duo guy. And if some guy creative brain power will make them think they can outflank you, that they just are not going to come right at you. They're just not going to do it. So we'll see. I think he's got an incredible weapon in 5. But again, how you use 5 and keep 5 alive is also very important.
Fair. I worry about them offensively in this game. I do not worry about them as much defensively as I think other people are going to worry about them. We'll expand more about that. We'll take more of your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. On the other side, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the DOC is with us in studio until 4 o'clock. Again, if you missed AEW's Orange Cassidy. He was in studio with us last hour. The podcast is up at the Team 980 on the Odyssey app and or at theteam980.com. Thank you to Maddie for cutting that up and getting that available to everybody. Again, AEW in town tomorrow night for their holiday bash at the Entertainment and Sports Arena. We are talking about bashing or trying to bash the brains in of the Philadelphia Eagles. And we were just talking about, you know, during the break, Doc, assuming Biotish is back, which they expect, and assuming that nothing happens during the practice week, and they might not have Zach Ertz, they might have to be a little bit more patient than Cliff Kingsbury is going to want to be, than some of the number knuckleheads are going to want them to be. And what I mean by that is they might have to take a couple of zero-yard gains, a negative one, a negative two, in order to wear down those big bodies with the Philadelphia Eagles and run tempo more than maybe they have been running to keep those guys on the field
or
to
outside,
wear their ass out.
I'm not opposed to taking those 8-9 hole plays to make them chase. That is a
right.
very important strategy.
Wide, little toss pitches or anything like that. I'm with you on that. Now, that's where it hurts that you don't have Eckler. Right?
Yeah.
Not only as a receiver, but also as a guy who can get quickly one cut downhill. But I think you can still toss
to
Brian Robinson and ask him to get downhill in space on that. And I don't see enough of that in this offense, quite honestly.
Mm-mm.
And what I do also worry about, again, is now you're dealing with no Eckler, no Noah Brown blocking on the perimeter and blocking on the edges, and you possibly are dealing without no Zach Ertz.
But whatever I don't have in my mind, I never even think about that because they're completely erased. I focus on what I have with who's in now. Period.
But if you don't have those guys, does that make you shy away from something?
No, I just do whatever the other guys do better. The one thing then what Eckler didn't do well, this other guy does better than he did at that. I only focus on strengths, because if not, you drive yourself nuts worrying about things you can't control.
But you would agree with me that as nice of a role as Chris Rodriguez has occasionally cut out for himself, and Jeremy McNichols, they're not Austin Eckler.
No, but I run the
John Bates
that
is not Eckler's Zach Ertz as a catcher.
Ertz is not them at the point of attack blocking.
No, I understand that.
So that's how people focus on things.
Right.
I don't focus on things I can't control.
Uh-huh.
If you're gone to me, you're gone. I'm only dealing with what I have, not what I don't have.
Okay. Let's squeeze in a call here before the top of the hour. Let's say hello to Telly on the Team 980. What up, Telly? How are you?
Hail to the Redskins. Chris Hustle.
Hail to the Telly. What's going on?
Hey, man. Hey, Doc, you pretty much stole my thunder. I'm in the camp of, you know, we was hearing excuses when B-Rod was hurt. Oh, this is why they shied away from the running game or what have you. No, you got backs. And Chris Rodney is that dude. He could get it done. And I think they'd be a 1-2 excellent punch to take care of the ball and have clock control. Clock control, having possession of the ball will win you this game, man. Don't stop what got you there. And for the defense, man, the best I've seen the defense play is when they had less time on the field. So when your offense is on that field eating up clock, you got a hell of a chance to take control of this game. And for my quarterback to be healthy now, don't put him in a predicament to where now he's not healthy, because we're in the playoffs. So we're playing playoff football. Run that rock, man. Design and scheme up running plays to open up your passing game. Get him on the center. Pistol, I can live with that. Shotgun, you do that, ain't blue moon. But the base of your offense need to be on the center, pistol, and go right at them. Hail to the Redskins, man. Y'all be
later, bro.
All right, thank you, Telly. I appreciate it. One thing I will say, like, they held the ball for almost 41 minutes on Sunday and damn near almost lost that game. Just because you hold on to the football doesn't mean you're going to win and dominate and score the requisite amount of points. When you hold on to the ball for almost 41 minutes, Doc, you got to score more than 20 points. And I know they were close. They missed three long ones to Terry. If one of those hit, obviously different. If the Allegretti hold, or I think it was a hold, doesn't wipe out the Diami Brown great throw from Jaden late in that game. Yeah. Tremendous. I thought that was his best throw maybe of the game. I mean, obviously the touchdown seeds were pretty damn impressive too, but you get my point. If maybe they score 27, 28 points, what have you, and again, it's a different context. Every game in and of itself is a little bit different. Just because, again, you ball control, you've got to be able to put up points. Just because you get yardage, you've got to be able to score in the red zone or inside the 10 goal-to-goal situations, especially against a team like Philadelphia.
And your kicking situation is so shaky.
And it will remain
shaky. You've got to get to touchdowns.
Yeah.
So we got to be attacking the end zone.
I think Dan Quinn – well, let's expand upon that on the other side as well. We'll grab more of your calls, too. Don't let me forget that. I want to talk about that whole mess. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Again, we gave you the playoff scenarios. Tyree Jackson is a tight end that they've signed to the practice squad here, so we will see how that all shakes out. And it looks like Zane Gonzalez will be back, looks like, in place of Greg Joseph. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll tackle that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.